Billy Graham gave a warning in 1962 that we might want to heed today, especially at this time of year. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. We're heading into the Christmas season. What did he talk about? What was the warning? And what can we gain from it now? If you haven't had a chance to do so, make sure you subscribe. Click on the bell for notifications. This is, of course, another Peck Report. And we're going to be talking about Billy Graham's warning from 1962. Also, visit joshpeckdisclosure.com. Get some gifts for your friends and family this holiday season. Click on the Josh Peck merch button, and there's plenty of things there that your friends and family will absolutely love. Now, Thanksgiving, as we know, it's one of the most special family times of the year, and the roads are packed with travelers and airlines are at full capacity. We have grandparents, parents, children, and other relatives journey across the country to spend a few days together, and that leads some of us to reflect on a very simple question. Is our country more family-friendly today than it was in the fairly recent past? Are we in 2018 more innocent or less innocent than we were in 1962? Well, the opening lines of a 2012 article in the Saturday Evening Post says it all. How much has America changed in the past 50 years? Imagine kids in American public schools now starting each day with a prayer. Imagine. Now, without a doubt, America was far from perfect in the early 1960s. I mean, in much of the nation, segregation was the law of the land, and women certainly had far fewer opportunities than men, just to mention two of society's most glaring inequities. And it's true that the first issue of Playboy featuring Marilyn Monroe in the nude was published in 1953. But at the same time, there's no denying that America back then was a far more innocent, family-friendly country than it is today. And so 50 plus years ago, when we sat together and watched Leave It to Beaver, we didn't say to ourselves, how corny, that's not a family that the nation would recognize today, you know, that's there's not a family in the nation like the Cleavers. We wouldn't say that. Instead, it was the it was as normal to anybody who was alive at that time as it was entertaining, or at least it seemed to be normal to many people growing up at that time during that time in many parts of the country. But in a word, Americans in the late 50s to early 60s enjoyed watching Father Knows Best and the Andy Griffith Show. But today we're watching, you know, Keeping Up with the Kardashians and The Secret Diary of a Call Girl. And for the record, in contrast with Bruce / Caitlyn Jenner, the patriarch of the Kardashian family, Robert Young, who played the father on Father Knows Best, was never crowned Woman of the Year, if you can believe it. Now, in the late 50s to early 60s, Annette Funicello was a popular young female star singing songs like Pineapple Princess. But today it's Miley Cyrus singing songs like Wrecking Ball in the nude, riding a wrecking ball in her music video. But what happened to our nation? How did things change so radically? And is there a spiritual answer that complements the many valid sociological answers? Well, we're going to get into that. I think there's a spiritual perspective that can be explored here. Christian historian David Barton has argued that America suffered a steep decline in morality and education once organized public prayer was removed from our schools in June of 1962. There are even studies that show declining SAT scores. And actually, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can click on the link to the article, and in that article is a link to an article on declining SAT scores with other relevant links, and so you can be the judge of that. But for many years, this 22-word prayer had been prayed corporately by millions of school children. Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence on thee and beg thy blessings over us, our parents, our teachers, and our nation. Now, in religious terms, it was generic. You know, a Jewish child could say the words as readily as a Christian child. And a child of an atheist could choose to remain silent. But still, without any clear legal precedent, the Supreme Court ruled against the prayer, and that has been the law of the land ever since. So what did Billy Graham have to say about this? In early 1962, he warned readers of The Post that, quote, the issue of prayers in public schools is now before the Supreme Court, and if the court decrees negatively, another victory will be gained by those forces which conspire to remove faith in God from the public conscience. American democracy rests on the belief in the reality of God and his respect for the individuals. Ours is a freedom under the law, but it is also a freedom that will evaporate if the religious foundations upon which it had been built are taken away, end quote. So he believed that the attempt to remove school prayer was part of a movement gathering momentum in America to take the traditional concept of God out of our national life. You know, he said that if this movement succeeds, in God we trust will be taken from our coins. The Bible will be removed from our courtrooms, and future presidents will be sworn into office with their hand on a copy of the Constitution instead of the Bible. Chaplains will be removed from the armed forces. He also argued that, quote, the preamble of our national constitution speaks of the blessings of liberty. The men at Philadelphia could never have written that document if they had not had faith in God, end quote. So was he right? You know, on the one hand, presidents still swear on the Bible when taking the oath. Bibles are still present in our courtrooms. In God We Trust is still on our coins, and chaplains are still in our armed forces. But on the other hand, our essential Christian freedoms are under constant assault. And in spirit, the Bible is being increasingly removed from our courtrooms. And as for our armed forces, could Reverend Graham have imagined a military that paid for sex change surgery for transgenders and that penalized chaplains for refusing to facilitate a same-sex, quote-unquote, marriage? How about this for a headline? Religious freedom of military chaplains under attack for event, saying religious freedom of military chaplains is under attack. In many people's view, Billy Graham was absolutely right in describing a movement gathering momentum in America, which desired to take the traditional concept of God out of our national life. But there is a solution. It's not found in simply bashing those who differ with our views, but instead, if each one of us who claims to really know the Lord and can demonstrate the beauty of our faith to a watching world, we can show the nation that God, our God, the God of the Bible, in fact, has a better way. He does. Let's do it this holiday season. Let's do it this year. Let's not wait till 2019. Let's do it now in 2018. Let's continue through the end of this year, and let's make even 2019 a year where millions of Americans can see our faith and are provoked to turn to the Lord themselves. Because only a vibrant, consistent, holistic, life-giving movement like this can turn this negative tide around. So it's very important to keep in mind. Part of the reason I bring this up, I think sometimes we as Christians kind of get lost in what we believe we're required to do or what we think we can do. If you don't believe me, read the YouTube comments on any single one of my videos. Pick one at random. Pick one at random, read the comments, and you'll be horrified. You'll be horrified at the things that a supposed Christian will say to another Christian. Now look, I'm not perfect. It doesn't even have to be waged against me. I don't take any of this personally. But it could be waged against another commenter, another person who's commenting. What YouTube comments does is it not only allows, but it provokes a person to share the innermost darkness and evil that exists in their heart. And we all have it. We all have it. Do not kid yourself into thinking that you don't have it, because we all have it. But what matters is what we do with it. Do we vomit it out for the rest of the world to see just how ugly and evil we actually are? Or do we take active steps to suppress that, knowing it's wrong, knowing that evil within us is flat out wrong because the Bible says so. Did you know that the scriptures actually say, the Bible actually teaches, you cannot love God if you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ. It did not make any kind of provisions about that. It did not say, but only the ones that you agree with theologically. It didn't say that at all. It says if you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ, you can't love God. You don't even know what loving God means. That's a tough lesson that I think we as Christians all need to get a hold of. Myself included, from time to time. There are times that I feel some negative emotions towards my Christian brothers and sisters because of things that I read or things that are said to me. But I need to realize I need to not take those personally. That's not the person. That is the evil that is in their hearts. That is what Jesus Christ died to forgive. And if he can do it, I have no excuse. I should be able to do it too. I should be able to forgive that too, and so should you. All right. Well, listen, if you haven't had a chance to do so, make sure you subscribe. Click on the bell, please, and leave a comment. Go ahead and leave a comment. And look, like I said, the truth comes out in those comments. People will show their ugliest side, but they'll also show their most beautiful side. I have read some absolutely encouraging and thought-provoking, well-established, well thought out comments, and that's what I'm after. I want to get good conversation going in the comment section. So make sure you leave a comment, share this with your friends, share this with your family, subscribe, click the bell for notifications, visit joshpeckdisclosure.com. If you'd like to, you can donate to the channel, you can donate to this ministry. You can do that by just an anonymous donation. You can become a Peck patron, which enters you into contests and things for as little as a dollar a month. You can donate anonymously. You can even send a money order if you want to. I set up a P.O. box specifically for that purpose because a lot of people wanted to do it that way. So you can do that. I've even had people who send cash in cards. There are several ways that if you want to support this channel, there are several options available to you. And if you don't care to and you just want to watch the videos, that is fine too. You go right ahead and do that. But all that being said, thank you so much for watching this Peck Report. Love you all. Till next time, take care and God bless.